Okay, lecture number 14, our last lecture in ethics. Lecture number 14, we're talking about the First Amendment, the freedoms of speech and religion. The First Amendment reads as follows: Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Okay, let me repeat that one more time. First Amendment reads, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, let me say this. Just recently, we're not going to touch on it too much, but the right of the people peaceably to assemble, that's the right of a peaceful, nonviolent protest. That is being taken away. Didn't it pass through the Senate? It's a felony with a minimum prison sentence if you protest outside an abortion clinic, even if you're not blocking people. And so all of a sudden, peaceful protests that are not politically correct are becoming illegal and are becoming felonies. And so the First Amendment... The RICO. By the way, racketeering charges should be applied in some instances that they're not. For instance, if you drug trafficking, you can use RICO laws, but also gang activity. These people say, I think the big debate is, should we charge this 15-year-old kid who blew the top of somebody's head off, should we charge him as an adult? No, the question I think should be is, should we charge him as just a single individual murderer, or should we charge him under the RICO laws, recognizing that this is organized crime? And what does the gang do? They organize together, they get separate role, individual roles that work towards a goal. That's organized crime. Not a bunch of Christians protesting in front of an abortion clinic.
Is that what racketeering is? Organized crime?
Yeah, racketeering is really organized crime.
You're on a racket.
But keep in mind, the First Amendment is just...
not like racket.
It's really, really been slammed. Second Amendment, let me throw something in about it, right to bear arms. Thomas Jefferson said the only time the Second Amendment will become important is when we're in jeopardy of losing it. In other words, any government that doesn't trust its people with the right to bear arms, its law-abiding citizens with the right to bear arms, is a government that is intending to take a lot more control over their people than any government should take. And now we're watching the Second Amendment erode as quickly as the First Amendment is eroding. Anyway, with the freedom of speech and press, we need to recognize the American concept of freedom. The American concept of freedom. Some people, it's really crazy, they act like the American concept of freedom means you're free and we can't have any laws against doing whatever you want to do. But then if somebody disagrees with them, all of a sudden they start making these really suppressive laws. So people speak out of both sides of their mouth. But the American concept of freedom, number one, is not absolute. Now you'll get some liberals, yes it is. No, it isn't, and they know it isn't. If the U.S. concept of freedom was absolute, okay, it'd be like, who was it, Rousseau? Who said that, I think it was Rousseau, who said that because a man is stronger than a woman, if he wants to rape a woman, there's nothing wrong with it. He can just go ahead and do it.
Who said that?
So, I don't know if it's either Rousseau or Voltaire.
That's not only Voltaire.
Rousseau said some pretty crazy things. So it's one of the two. We'll have to look it up. Whatever the case, the American concept of freedom is not absolute. If the American concept of freedom was absolute, there would be nothing wrong with counterfeiting money. was slandering other people. So in other words, he has freedom within, freedom under law, freedom within laws. There are certain boundaries you cannot pass. You're not free to print counterfeit money to slander other people, unless they're Christians, then you can slander them. But the American concept of freedom is this. We are free to pursue happiness. We are free to pursue happiness so long as we do not infringe on someone else's freedom. We are free to pursue happiness so long as we do not infringe on someone else's freedom. That's why when you argue against homosexuality with a non-believer, you don't bring the Bible into it. You just point out that homosexuality will defile a nation. And the Bible says that, but you can prove it just by pointing to AIDS and then the spread of tuberculosis, hepatitis B, and 300 other gay-related diseases. That they infringe, by them continuing to do that, they infringe on our freedom. We are seeing a comeback of tuberculosis, certain types, certain strains, of which we know no cures whatsoever. But that's the American concept of freedom. By the way, I believe it was Rousseau. I think Rousseau's freedom was, freedom is absolute. Basically, his view was freedom. It means freedom to sin. The American concept of freedom was basically a limited view of freedom. Freedom to pursue happiness so long as we don't infringe on someone else's freedom. Your freedom ends where someone else's freedom begins. But Christ's view of freedom was the freedom to not sin. The freedom to sin is actually slavery. And the freedom to not sin, that's where true freedom is. Freedom from sin is the true freedom, not freedom to sin. Freedom of speech issues touch on several different things. Pornography is one issue. A lot of people say, you can't infringe on my freedom. There was one guy from the ACLU who was in a debate on this issue, and he said, I believe it is wrong to have sex with children. However, because of the freedom of press, it is not wrong to take pictures of someone having sex with children. And it's not wrong to sell these pictures, publish them in magazines and sell these pictures. And it's not wrong to buy these pictures. And it's not wrong to have fun looking at these pictures. That was just the ACLU's position. It was the ACLU out of New York. Their position on it back in the 80s. Now, I don't know if they still hold to that view. Again, the American concept of freedom has boundaries. And we have to argue that that causes harm to everybody. For instance, when you read pornography, when you look at pornographic pictures, it does not give you sexual release. There's a difference between sexual release and sexual arousement. This is why the Bible says flee immorality. Don't lead yourself into temptation. I don't counsel ladies alone. If I have to counsel a lady, my wife's there by my side counseling her as well. Once you get sexually aroused, it's almost impossible to play like a spiritual giant and say no to the temptation. Therefore, you should not get yourself in that type of situation. But when you read pornographic magazines, it sexually arouses you. It does not give you sexual release, sexual fulfillment. Most people, when they get sexually aroused, if not all, have to find some way of sexual release. So this guy's reading these pornographic magazines. I'm not even talking hardcore at this point. I'm not even talking child pornography or bestiality or stuff like that, or even where they're just taking pictures of, I'm talking even just pictures of just naked ladies without naked men there. Guy gets sexually aroused, and he's your next door neighbor. He's not infringing on your rights. This is American right to read that, but a lot of people aren't. Well, my question is, how's this guy going to find release? What is he going to do?
He might masturbate. Then again, he might just go have sex with his wife if he's married. Then again, maybe he's going to have sex with his neighbor's wife. And then maybe she's going to consent to that sex with him. Then again, maybe not. Maybe he's going to rape her. And maybe because he doesn't want to go to prison, he's going to kill her and then bury her in a shallow grave. A lot of people say, oh, what are you saying this, you're saying that. No. There's a big connection between serial murderers and pornography. Yeah. It's, I don't know, the percentage is real high, something like 85% or something of serial murderers who were heavy into pornography. Ted Bundy said that as a child, he used to go to old dumps and find your basic softcore pornography, your Playboy type stuff, and from looking at that, and then watching slasher type films, real violent type films with their graphic blood and stuff like that, and the two of them combined in his mind to where he got his sadomasochistic ideas and ended up finding his release in brutally killing and raping ladies and then keeping their corpses in his closet and having sex with their corpses till he could no longer stand the smell. Yeah, Tom.
I wonder if something you said about the ACLU, under the present administration, while Hillary Clinton was way up and upsetting the American public, undercover they cut back on the law against child pornography.
So Yeah, Janet Reno. Well, Janet Reno, that's the one that we found out about Janet Reno. When they said she's the Attorney General, they said that she's tough on crime. We found out what that means. It doesn't mean that she's tough on pornography. It doesn't mean that she's tough on gangs. All it means is that she considers you a religious fanatic, and if you believe in your right to bear arms, she's going to target you. And that means if you fall into that category, she will not try to get David Koresh when he's driving around in town and do a felony stop on him alone, but she will send the ATF to make a militaristic invasion and attack to where you're killing lots of little children, and a lot of people are misled by the plague David Koresh. But the point I'm getting at with pornography, so she's more she's tough on crime in the sense, almost in the sense that Adolf Hitler was tough on crime. The ATF turned it into a Gestapo where the constitutional rights of individuals mean absolutely nothing, and then slam what she considers our religious fanatics who also exercise their Second Amendment right, the right to bear arms. And the problem is, Janet Reno and a large portion of the present administration consider born-again believers to be as much religious fanatics as Koresh. That's why CNN repeatedly referred to David Koresh as a fundamentalist. By the way, they're also referring to white Aryans as fundamentalists as well. Anyway, pornography sexually arouses you, does not give you sexual release. And I think we can cut down a lot of sexual crimes, violent sexual crimes, especially if we get rid of the pornography.
There was a case, I guess it was like 86 or 87, before the Supreme Court, during which it was decided that the ruling was that not only is it your First Amendment right to produce and publish that kind of material, but it's also your First Amendment right to read it, including prisoners.
Yeah,
there was a case.
And prisoners
allowing it in, and that got overturned.
Prisoners are, I tell you, it's bad enough that a guy gets sexually aroused, and a ruthless guy gets sexually aroused, and that burns inside of him, and then his sexual release might not come for hours, till hours later, whatever. He got some guys in prison, and his sexual release might take 20 if they decide not to rape some of the guys in prison. That sexual release might not come for 10 or 20 years. Of course, now they're letting girlfriends and wives visit them in prisons, and talked to some Christian guys in prison a few years back, and they said that when they meet with their families, all the Christian guys meet with the families on one side, but in a big reception hall, all the non-Christian guys lay down on the floor and start having sex with their wives and their girlfriends, but that pornography is one issue. Again, there are areas, just because a guy's doing something in the privacy of his home doesn't mean it. You know, a guy can have sex with another man in the privacy of his home, and they might have multiple partners and a whole nine yards, and it sounds like, well, that's his freedom. But if he gets tuberculosis or hepatitis B, and it is rampant in the homosexual community right now, it is making a comeback in this country, and it's got the potential. Everybody's talking about AIDS. You watch. Start reading up on tuberculosis and hepatitis B. But when that guy comes out of his house, he brings his tuberculosis and his hepatitis B with him. But pornography, rock and roll music, rap music, remember Two Life Crew had one song. At the Two Life Crew, they had one album where I think the F word for intercourse was used. I think James Dobson and his organization sat down and recorded how many times they used the F word. I think it was used. I think it was used something like 5-6 times a minute on the average throughout the album. The T word for a woman's breast were used several times per minute, and just the list goes on and on. And when they were on the Phil Donahue show, representatives from James Dobson. By the way, James Dobson, I don't like his psychological views. I think they're off the wall. They're out to lunch. I don't think low self-esteem is the problem. I think too much self-love is the problem. Selfishness is the reason for sin, not the answer to the problem. At the same time, on political issues, Dr. Dobson has been one of the foremost defenders of traditional values in the country. So I respect him greatly in this area, though I wish he would clean his house in the other area. But his organization, they had run a Phil Donahue show. And Phil Donahue had some lawyers on there arguing this is a freedom of speech, they can say what they want and all that. So finally, the guy got fed up that was from Dobson's family organization. And so he came and he decided, I'm going to read a line from one of the songs. And he read one line, and Phil Donahue freaked out. So what are you trying to do, get me kicked off the air and all? But he was making a point. How come it's legal to say this kind of garbage and to sell it to 8 to 12-year-old kids? That's perfectly legal, but it's not legal to say those things on an adult talk show during the day on Phil Donahue's talk program. That'll get him kicked off the air. Now, what did the liberal press do when they reported it? They reported it as some fundamentalist Christian
cursed on TV
because he lost his temper trying to say that he shouldn't allow people to curse publicly. And so Dobson's already got with them and forced them to make an apology in the paper the next day. Of course, the article was a tiny one instead of the big one that they did originally. But I'll tell you, if you're going to talk about women like that, you're going to legalize that, then you might as well just legalize rape now. Because when you get your little 8 to 12-year-old boys and you teach them they can have that low of a view of woman, when they grow up to be 20-year-old men, whether the woman consents or not to having sex with them is going to be totally irrelevant. And so there's another issue where we need to find the boundaries. Nudity on television. And not only nudity, but also violence on television. Now, let me say this. Guy shoots a gun, the guy falls down, a little bit of blood on him. If it's done right, that's actually healthy. We need to know that cops shoot bad guys. We also need to know there's some bad guys out there that are so bad they can shoot cops. Okay? But we don't need to graphically show somebody's throat being slit to where little kids are growing up thinking, oh, this would be great if I could just slit somebody's throat and get away with it, you know? So we shouldn't be that graphic. Nudity, if you got a movie where a husband and wife are there and they're supposed to have sex, all you got to do is show them getting into bed with pajamas on and turn the light off and then switch to another scene. Now, you don't need a PhD to figure out what probably would have happened in that situation, okay? And she didn't say, I love you, honey, and smooch him on the lips. And you don't need to see all that stuff. All this stuff is unnecessary. It's not art. It's going to the point where, again, you get the sexual arousement where's the sexual release going to come in? Also, freedom of speech comes in with evangelism. Evangelism, yeah, that could be harmful, but now the same. And of course, this is also a freedom of religion issue as well. But people are saying, did they pass that, or is it?
Well, it's still in consideration.
So it's in the House or what?
I think it's in the Senate.
And on the national level?
Yeah.
So it's in our nation's Senate. They're deciding whether or not it's religious harassment to wear crosses around, necklaces with a cross on it, to work, or a Jesus shirt, to say something like, you know, something that could be emotionally damaging to people, something like, Jesus loves you, you know?
I've got passed for this.
What's that?
It's passed for this.
Has that passed?
Yeah.
How long did that pass?
Friday, I think.
Brother, it passed?
Yeah, what?
What happened?
Look at that bill.
It's a free advertisement for the church. Then John, we'll pick you to be the first one to get arrested, and we'll get the ACLU, ACLJ.
Yeah,
ACLU wouldn't do too good for us.
ACLU will defend my employer.
We have to fire him. He was trying to make people nice.
But the freedom of religion and freedom of speech used to mean you're free to share your faith. Now it means you're not free to share your faith because you're infringing on everybody else's faith. That's garbage. That's baloney. When a person tells you, I don't want to hear your Christianity, I don't want anything to do with it, he's sharing his religious beliefs too. Yeah, and by the way, I don't think if a guy doesn't want to hear it and tells you he doesn't want to hear it, I'd shut up. I'd say, all right, fine. You know, what the hell? No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. It's only a joke for those, like I said, who don't know anything.
What? Pro-life?
It says pro-life. That's right, you can't read. Pro-life.
Very quick.
Okay.
Sharing your faith with somebody is basically an advertisement for what you think is the right way of life, right?
Yeah, that's one aspect of it.
I mean, if you look at it from a secular viewpoint, you're telling somebody what you think is the best way to do something, right? So it should be illegal for Chevrolet Motor Company to want to give somebody their truck is the best truck in America.
Exactly.
Or well, it should be illegal for Ford to tell me it's the number one truck in America.
What it amounts to is it just, they don't want to be convicted. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit convicts, and they don't want to be convicted, so it just gets back to, you know, because look what's happening in the schools, in the colleges today. The suppression of the teaching of Christianity in the universities. You know, I can't get these college professors. I can't get these college professors to debate me. But I constantly talk to students at Olympic College and Lower Columbia College. Constantly talk to students who are being harassed because of their beliefs. And when they challenge the philosophy professor, they're told where the door is. And it's their money. They're paying their money to go to these schools. It was, either Michigan State University, University of Michigan, one of the two, former Marine, served the Persian Gulf War and was in this church for a while. He wanted to put a Bible verse each day during the time of Lent on the bulletin board in his dorm. And a lot of the advertisement on the bulletin board were telling you where the next lesbian or homosexual support group meeting was. So they told him, the lady who ran the dorm told him he was not allowed to put Bible verses there because some people might find it offensive. Well, where's his freedom of speech? So, you know, it only goes one way. You know, hedonism is the morality that must be taught, and New Age or beliefs, New Age pantheism or atheism is the religion that must be proclaimed, and anything else is going to be outlawed.
Is there something you wanted to say on pro-life?
Just that the pro-life demonstrations. Mentioned it earlier, their freedom of speech and the right to gather and protest peaceably is being infringed upon. Whereas homosexuals can whoop the tar out of Christians at a church, and the police will stand by and usually won't even make arrests, which is what occurred in San Francisco.
Yeah. I just wanted to add that under FACE, the free access to clinics and accidents forbids pro-life protesters from getting too close to certain clinics. That they do, they cross boundaries to federal offense. However, if you're an employee working at that particular clinic and you decide to go out and strike at the very premises because of a wage dispute or whatever that is, you are perfectly legal to do a protest under those kind of bad guys. But not if you're pro-life.
So that makes no sense at all. But all it is a suppression of our faith. And right now, too, we were talking, even before we started the course, the classes today, we were talking about the fact that it is against the law for a church to endorse any political candidate.
Is it really against the law, or is it just not?
No, it is illegal for us. Even at this point now, we can't even bring in, let's say it's in Washington State, we couldn't even bring in someone running for an office without giving equal time to the person that's running against them.
Well, I'm breaking the law, but I haven't dragged it up here to talk about what a great thing it is to oppose the government.
Non-verbal communication.
John Gardner.
Yeah. But there are a lot of things. There's even been some sermons that I've preached that all they would have to do is take me to court to find out whether or not they're going to classify homosexuality as a minority status by me from the pulpit calling it a sin. If they interpret the laws against protecting the rights of minorities, if they just use those same laws that are on the books and apply to homosexuals, I could be arrested for that as well. But the thing is, if you've got a homosexual nonprofit group, you're allowed to bring in a homosexual candidate like Barney Frank, and you don't have to bring in his opponent. But if you're a Christian, you've got to be fair to both sides. So the way we work around it, I'm going to talk to John. He's not a pastor of the church or anything. And we'll just rent a place. Maybe we'll rent the building that we meet at church. It's not our building. They have bingo here. We have nothing to do with that. We don't want anything to do with the bingo. Mm-hmm. So, maybe we'll call around some of the churches and get some guys involved. But it won't be a church thing. It'll have to be done by laymen. And then he's free to get three or four speakers up there of one side of the issues, and he's going to be on our side because that's our freedom of speech. Unfortunately, churches do not have that freedom of speech any longer. There is, and by the way, Tal Brook, in a book that Rory gave me, Tal Brook pointed out that all they would have to do in the United States of America to be as rough on religion, even rougher on religion than the old Soviet Union was just apply the laws that are in effect in the public schools. No prayer allowed. Can't bring your Bible into school, can't do this, can't do that. Apply those same laws that are on the books when he wrote that book across the boards in this nation, and it'd be a lot different. Now we got some bills going our favor, like equal access bill, and they can give you a class if they can give you a class for after school hours for students to have a club on Jimi Hendrix, listen to Jimi Hendrix albums or something, then if there's some students that want to have a Bible class afterwards, it's supposed to be their constitutional right to do so. However, that's been challenged a lot. I don't know the present state of it. Yeah.
You're also trying to pass this law, you cannot mention anything about Christianity at the workplace.
Yeah.
If this goes through, what is that going to do?
It's the same bill as the other one we're wearing across.
What kind of information looks like? This is your business.
I'm sorry, you can't mention Jesus at the
UK. Oh, and then that one. No, I think what they're going to do is. I think what they're going to do there is just going to create a dichotomy between Christian organizations. It's like Mike Siegel. Mm-hmm.
Now there's a guy, he is not a conservative, he is a liberal who became a moderate because he got fed up with government waste. But his view on homosexuality was that if you're a rabbi, because you might see who's Jewish, if you're a rabbi, then, and you want to teach that homosexuality is a sin, that's fine as long as you do it in your synagogue. But once that rabbi goes home, if he wants to rent a room of his house, he cannot deny someone from renting just because the guys are homosexuals. So what Mike Siegel is saying is, I'm for freedom of religion so long as you keep it private. But you can't bring religion out of public. That's your typical liberal view. And he has much more in common there, much more in common with Adolf Hitler on that particular view than he would with any of the Jewish rabbis throughout history.
You know what I'm wrong? That's just a well-educated American word.
What's that,
Siegel?
Yeah. Well, Siegel's got a lot of good views, but his thought is in transition, and he needs a lot more transition. Okay, all right, and then we're going to close our talk on lectures with the freedom of religion. The freedom of religion, the First Amendment's been taken out of context instead of being the freedom of religion. People try to make it the freedom from religion. The freedom of religion would say that you are free to share your faith with people at the workplace so long as they tell you to just stop doing it, you stop, okay? That would be the freedom of religion. The freedom from religion, though, says you're not free to share Christianity with anybody. This freedom of religion issue is very big in the public schools, where they no longer allow prayer. Bible clubs for a while weren't allowed in the Equal Access Bill. They got permission for that. I don't know where it stands right now. Book reports have often, students would not be accepted because they were a book report about Jesus. Perfectly fine to write a book report about Adolf Hitler, but God forbid you should write one about Jesus. Evolution, atheistic evolution is taught. You can't teach creation science. That would be bringing religion into public schools, they claim. Yet the 1961 Tocaso versus Watkins Supreme Court decision ruled that secular humanism is as much a religion as religions that believe in the existence of God. So therefore, teaching atheistic evolution alone is the state forcing its religion down our throats. They should teach both that and creation science. By the way, in 1925, in the evolution trial, the ACLU argued that both evolution and creation should be taught, because at that time only creation was taught in the public schools. Now in the 1980s, they turned around, the same ACLU argued that only evolution should be taught. It's wrong to teach evolution and plus creation science, because creation science is forcing your religion down somebody's throat. So there's a lot of public school issues. The Ten Commandments were taken down from the wall from one public school. People, students trying to say a prayer at a graduation, even though all the students wanted it, it's viewed as a violation of separation of church and state. By the way, separation of church and state, too many Christians say that there is no such thing. That is a dumb thing to say. There is definitely separation of church and state. Now, technically speaking, you can say, it's not mentioned in the First Amendment. You're right, it's not mentioned in the First Amendment. But freedom of religion means there has to be a certain separation of church and state. If church and state are one and the same thing, then there is no freedom of religion. That's what the Church of England was. No separation of church and state, so the Church of England was the only church that you could have. Now, separation of church and state is mentioned in the Soviet Constitution, but it was also mentioned by Thomas Jefferson in a letter that he wrote to Baptists, assuring them of their religious freedom. He said there is a wall of separation between the church and the state. However, that wall is a one-sided wall. It only blots the state out from interfering with the church, unless, of course, the church decides to have human sacrifices or infringe on somebody else's rights. But the state, in other words, see, the First Amendment, does the First Amendment
say religious group shall not do this or shall not. It doesn't say that. The only, who is the only one that can violate the First Amendment?
Congress.
The only thing the First Amendment says is what Congress can't do. It doesn't say what religions can't do. Now, what if you say, well, what about a satanic human sacrifice? That's not a violation of the First Amendment. That's a violation of rules like thou shalt not kill. So it's not a First Amendment issue. They'll try to make it a First Amendment issue if they could, but it's not a First Amendment issue. They just broke one of the major laws of the land.
Yeah, but if you sacrifice one of their children, suddenly it's no longer a First Amendment issue.
Yeah. Yeah, but they would try to make it... Yeah, I see where you're getting at there. But anyway, but the separation of church and state, Jesus taught the separation of church and state. He said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. Mark 12:17. In other words, Caesar is not the church, and the church is not Caesar. They're supposed to be separate until Christ returns. There should be some interaction. The church is the conscience. The pulpit is the conscience of a nation. And you throw away your conscience, you apostatize from the faith like the church in Germany did, then you'll pave the way for an Adolf Hitler. Georgetown University, the court ruled that they could not discriminate against homosexual students, despite the fact that that is a Catholic university. They had to provide the same classroom space for homosexuals as they would for any other group. And they chose not to fight it, to take it to the Supreme Court, because it would have been too much money. But, yeah.
When did this happen?
Back in the 80s.
86. It was the gay people of Georgetown University. That was an angry organization, and they had been refused funding for a little gay bazaar that they were going to put on the campus. And so they took them to the New York State Supreme Court, where the State Supreme Court said, you have to give them the money. You don't have to recognize them and endorse them, but you do have to give them the same money. And Georgetown, instead of fighting all the way, declared itself the winner.
Yeah, that was it. Even Cardinal O'Connor from New York said that was a dumb move, and that they should have fought it to the Supreme Court, and if the Supreme Court ruled against them, that they should have basically, he said they should basically either close the school or just ignore what the Supreme Court said. What's that?
Is that what they told?
I don't think so. I think it was somewhere else. Well, Oxford, yeah, he went there just on that bogus Rhodes Scholarship, which is just an education in communism. But public nativity scenes. Oh, they're so harmful. You know, you could put up. You could probably get away with putting up a statue of a giant, what was it? They had a 30-foot high condom or something to celebrate Safe Sex Week or something like that, and Clinton gave a talk at it. And, you know, that's not offensive, but God forbid you put up a public nativity scene, you know, in a public place. But the false view of separation of church and state is the states that religion cannot get involved in politics. Religion cannot get involved. If you say that godly people can't involve in politics, then you're leaving yourself to be ruled by the godless. By the way, any Christian that holds that view, that we should not get involved in politics, and by the way, a lot of your Christian friends that don't like Jerry Falwell, that's one of the main reasons why. And if you gather some of them up to have them talk with me someday, I would love that, because... I think we have a lot of Christians, you know, all that for evil, it's been said over and over again, all that is needed for evil to succeed is for godly men to do nothing. And we have so many Christians who pride themselves on doing nothing. And they really act like, you know, I'm building rewards in heaven because I'm doing nothing. And millions of babies are being butchered, but God is so proud of me for doing nothing. But Jerry Falwell, the only thing that he's done that I really didn't like, well, two things. Sometimes I don't like the way he raises funds, and number two, he gave up a statement of faith so he can still get government funds, student grants and scholarships for the students and stuff. But as far as his backing Ronald Reagan and his fighting liberalism and his fighting communism and his stand on the issues, I salute Jerry Falwell, and I think he's a godly man and doing one heck of a job. And he was on Crossfire the other day saying that we should look into these sexual accusations against Clinton. And so Kinsley, the liberal, questioned Falwell and said, what if somebody brought up an accusation about you? And so they saw you in a hotel room with another woman. And Falwell just turned and said, not only have I never been in a hotel room with a woman other than my wife or my daughters, but I've never even been alone in the car with a woman other than my wife or my daughters. Now, you got anybody who wants to bring up this kind of accusation? And Kinsley just shut right up. And what you got is a man who does not trust in his own righteousness and has built a hedge around himself. But Jerry Falwell has done a lot more to save the lives of unborn babies than any of his critics. And the moral majority probably was one of the biggest factors that got Ronald Reagan elected. And usually the same people that don't like Jerry Falwell don't like Ronald Reagan. And as far as I'm concerned, we'll see when Jesus hands out the rewards who was right and who was wrong, whether the ones who tried to save unborn babies' lives or whether the people, Christians, who sat and did nothing and allowed for a socialistic takeover of our country and infringement on our freedoms. But those who say religion cannot get involved in politics, here's the question I would ask them. Okay? You might want to jot this down. It's up to you. Should an American political document which expresses belief in God as creator, should an American political document which expresses belief in God as creator and bases political doctrines upon that belief be declared unconstitutional? Let me read that again. Should an American political document which expresses belief in God as creator and bases political doctrines on that belief, should that document be declared unconstitutional? Now, if you ask that to Phil Donahue, or for that matter, even possibly to somebody like President Clinton, if they say no, then our response would be, well, then get off our case and let us express our political views, and let us even say that we get our political views from the Bible. That is our free choice. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not unconstitutional. However, if they say, yes, it is unconstitutional, then ask them to explain how why the Constitution declared the Declaration of Independence as unconstitutional, since the Declaration of Independence said that all men are created equal, and then based all our political philosophy upon that belief, and the Constitution was only written 15 years later by basically the same group of people. Why in the world would our founding fathers declare the Declaration of Independence unconstitutional? That makes no sense whatsoever. So it's a dilemma. There is a no-win situation on an answer like that, and it just shows the contradictions of American liberalism and their war against standards. If there's some Christians out there who can stand by while unborn babies are being butchered, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes on a judgment day. I'm not casting judgment. It's just that God gave us brains, and He put us in a country where we got political say. I think we ought to get busy doing it. I don't think abortion is the only thing we should fight. I've talked about a lot of ethical issues, but at the same time, preaching the gospel is number one. Feeding the hungry is right up there as well, stuff like that. But at the same time, comes a time when somebody's got to stand up for unborn babies. An unborn baby can't scream, but that still doesn't stop the fact that somebody's got to go out there and help. I'm not saying blockading abortion clinics. I don't think that's the most effective way. But if Christians would use their brains when they will go to vote, if they go to vote, we'd see abortion overturned in the next election. those who profess to be Christians make up about, profess to be born again Christians make up 1/3 of the society. Anyway, those who say the government should not enforce morality, they're off the wall. Just to say thou shalt not kill is enforcing morality. The question is not should the government enforce morality. The question is whose morality are they going to enforce? But the government mustn't. If the government doesn't enforce morality, there's nothing left for it to do but to pick up his checks on Friday. Okay. So, but whatever the case, the godly man, we need to be like Francis Schaeffer said. Instead of looking at things as each little individual things, look at things as a unit. There is a battle between the Christian worldview, the atheist worldview, and the pantheist worldview, and we are losing this country right now. And I think we should do everything that within our power and within what is right to try to fight back and win our country, because we've got 1.5 million unborn babies, lots of deformed people that could be put to death if we don't put our foot down real quick too. Our country turned its back on the God of the Bible, and we need to do whatever we can to bring it back, and as long as Jerry Falwell continues to do that, I'll salute him. All right, that's the end of the course.